Lord Jesus, thank you for Pam and the wonderful words she's been bringing to us. And we just pray that you'd be with her now, Holy Spirit, that you'd guide her and lead her and give her the words that you want us to hear, and open our hearts and minds in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Tim. Makanyora, thank you for that very special testimony. Who would think that an advocate was not paid? That's what Makanyora is, and it's been an amazing testimony that you've shared. Thank you. Okay, as Tim said, we're in our series, God Breathed. And in the last 2 weeks, we've turned our attention from what we have been looking at, which has been the indwelling Spirit empowering us to live a Christ-like life and His transforming work in our lives. And we've turned our attention to the supernatural equipment that the Holy Spirit gives us to do His supernatural work, the work of Jesus in our lives. Jesus said, "He who believes in me, the same works I do shall he do also, because I'm going to the Father, and greater works shall he do." So over the last 2 weeks, we've laid the foundation for this teaching today, and it's to better understand what the gifts of the Holy Spirit are not. We've mentioned that first of all. So if you could, Simon, just put up for us first the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Thank you. You won't find on that list up there, you won't find the motivational gifts that are in Romans chapter 12, teaching, leadership, mercy, those things, because those are not the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Then you will not find there either the Ephesians 4 gift ministries that Jesus gives the church of apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. Those are people. So what are these gifts of the Holy Spirit? Let's remember they're all supernatural gifts, that whole list there. Not one of them is a natural thing or a learnt thing. They're all supernatural, and we need the supernatural equipment to do God's supernatural work. You've heard me say that a couple of times. They're for each believer. You, if you're filled with the Spirit, are not excluded from being used in the gifts of the Spirit. They're for the common good, to be used for whoever needs them. It's not so that we can have gifts. It's so that others can be blessed. And then the Holy Spirit distributes them as He wills. They can't be earned. They're gifts. And it's the Holy Spirit who sheds abroad the love of God in our hearts, it says in Romans. So open yourself to the Holy Spirit. Let His love flow through you to people. Let's love people. And then the gifts will flow. We sung, it was amazing worship this morning. We sung about some of the breaking our hearts for what breaks God's heart. Those are people, not just, you know, weather patterns or something like that. They're people, okay? And so as we start loving people, really loving people, that's when we put our own agendas aside and we start loving the way God loves. So these are the types of gifts. First of all, last week we looked at the revelation gifts, the first category up there, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and the distinguishing of spirits. We learned that every revelation was a supernatural one. Not learnt, not acquired, given in the moment as the Holy Spirit wills. It's not up to you to decide, you know, we've got to have this now. No, it's the Holy Spirit in charge of the gifts. Often the word of knowledge, we said, and the word of wisdom are used together when they're given by the Spirit. The word of knowledge deals with past or present knowledge, normally God's past or present knowledge of a situation or a person or their heart or something like that. And the word of wisdom deals with future knowledge. And this is because God knows the past, the present, and the future. And He lives outside of time, not like us. And so He knows what lies between the present and the future. He can see what lies between. He can see this development of present to future. That's the expression of his divine purpose, of his intelligent plan, of his applied knowledge, of his wisdom. And sometimes he shows that to someone, for somebody else. And that's called a word of wisdom. Do you remember in John chapter 15, verses 12 and 13, Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes, one of the things he will do is disclose to you what is to come. It's nothing, what's the word, to be unexpected. Jesus said it would happen, that the Holy Spirit would show us what is to come. And so, and we mentioned that these two gifts are very often used together, and they're often to warn, maybe to confirm a calling, or maybe simply just to encourage. And I want to just share with you one little testimony here I didn't share last week. And if you want some more examples of all these things, I can't possibly go into all the examples again, but please go onto the website and read what the Holy Spirit is doing today, not just in Bible times. So it'll open your, blow your mind to hear some of the stories that I've been experienced to hear about, read about, see for myself, etc., etc. So wonderful, wonderful stories. And this one I didn't tell you about. But this is an amazing story. There was a wonderful lady, an Australian lady, called Kerry Groves. And she was a young lady who was growing up in a church in Perth, and I mentioned her last week, I think it was last week, and how she got used in the word of knowledge, and how she began her ministry that way. And so she'd been to the Karoo a couple of times, and she'd ministered around, and then she'd met a Karoo farmer, and the most amazing, that's another story, amazing story, and they got married. And from the day she got married, something happened to her, and she couldn't put her finger on it. She didn't know what it was, but she just couldn't minister. And she said, it's got nothing to do with my husband. I don't know what it is. And so they had a little Christian fellowship there of about, I don't know, how many, Rob, about 10, 12 people. They used to meet once a week. And so they were praying for her and praying for her. And the one night, out of the blue, one of the ladies, I think it was Lola Doble, got a vision. And she said, Kerry, I've just had this vision, and I don't know if it means anything to you, but I've just seen in a vision an Indian man. Now, you must understand that there are no Indians living at Norville's Pond in the Karoo. So why she would suddenly get a picture of an Indian man was just out of the blue, so strange that she thought, I better mention it. And so she did. And Kerry said, that's it. That is it. She said, before I was saved, I was going out with an Indian chap. And when we broke up, his father was very, very angry. And I think he put a curse on me to come into operation the day I got married. So there and then in that little group of people, they broke the power of that curse. And all the power came back for her to minister again in her prophetic ministry, blessed thousands of people in South Africa. And it was just the most amazing story, but it was Lola Doble getting the vision. Could have been you, Trevor. Could have been you, Helene. Could have been any one of us in that little home group getting the vision. Gifts of the Spirit don't just happen in a big group like this. They can happen in a home group, in a connect group. And so I just wanted to share that story with you. And then the distinguishing of spirits we mentioned was the gift that reveals the source of a spiritual manifestation, supernatural manifestation. So whether it's a divine source or a satanic source, and such a helpful tool if you are ministering deliverance. And then we had a look at the power gifts, faith, which is the supernatural surge of confidence, not just normal faith. Faith to do amazing things, which is a gift of the Holy Spirit, usually accompanying the other gifts, gifts of healing or the working of miracles. And sometimes you find also with healing that a word of knowledge is often used at the same time with healing. I've seen that happen many a time. And I want to just share with you three little stories, and I'll be very quick because we want to get on to the inspirational gifts. But there was a lady in the Karoo who was a farmer's wife. She wasn't a big preacher or anything like that, just a farmer's wife. Her name was Hester. She lived on a farm just outside DR. And when she got saved and when she got filled with the Spirit, there was no stopping her. And she started ministering to the labor, the colored labor who were on her farm. And she was trusting God for them. And there was this one lady who was paralyzed. She was a sole breadwinner in her little family. And Hester was so burdened for her and really just wanted to see her healed. So she said, Lord, I'm going to pray for her. And so they brought her to Hester in the service, and she began to pray, and nothing happened. And the story goes that Hester couldn't accept this, so she went aside and she said, Lord, what is it that is stopping this woman being healed? The Lord said very clearly to her, she's got unforgiveness against her husband. So as the story went, she went back to the lady and she said, in Afrikaans to her, you've got unforgiveness against your husband. The lady said, nooit nie, madam. And so he said, ja, die Heere het vir my gesê. Ja, madam. And she had to go and sort it out. And do you know that a measure of her paralysis went? Then she still wasn't totally healed. So the Lord went aside, spoke to the Lord again, and the Lord showed her somebody else in this lady's family that she hadn't forgiven. And so it went on until that lady was totally healed of her paralysis and could get back to work. That was just a farmer's wife. When I say just a farmer's wife, she was a farmer. That was what she did. She wasn't a big preacher in the church or anything like that, just a farmer's wife. But wanting to be used by God, wanting to be available. And then there was a very interesting meeting we once went to. It was a meeting where Dr. James Fancell, how many of you have heard of Dr. James Fancell? Yeah, one or two if you've lived here in KZN for quite a long time. But he was a doctor, a medical doctor, who was used a lot to pray for the sick. He loved the Lord. And so he was invited by the Middelburg Christians, just a little bit north of Graaffreinet where we were, to come in and have a meeting in the city hall. And so after the preaching, which he didn't do, he always asked somebody else to do that, he came, and people knew about him, and his reputation had gone far and wide. And so I couldn't believe the number of sick people in that room, in that hall that night. There must have been about 400 people, and there were so many of them. Rob and I were sitting at the back and waiting, because we were like part hosting this thing. And while he prayed for the people, and he was on the stage, and they would come up onto the platform, and he'd pray for them. And he prayed for many of them, and you kind of got a bit tired waiting, etc. And then all of a sudden, his prayer changed. And he prayed for this lady, and there was a distinguishing of spirits in his prayer, something that went back way into her past. And he prayed for deliverance for her, and off she went. And I watched her, because it was different. She came, she sat down, and then he prayed for one or two other people, and then there was a little boy who went up onto the stage. And he prayed the identical prayer for that little boy. And the little boy, he had a healing need, but that was the prayer he prayed. And he walked off the stage, there he went to sit, right next to his mother. And there it was. It was a word of knowledge which released the healing for those two people. And it was a discerning of spirits that was actually needed in that particular case. So I just wanted to mention how some of these things work. And then there was Dr. Derek Prince, many of you might have heard of him, international Bible teacher. And when he prayed for people, he used to, I've never seen such a demonstration of spiritual authority in all my life. But he would preach or teach very, very well, and then he would say, it's now time to pray for the people. He said, no one come up. Again, people knew that he could pray for the sick. And then he would wait for the Lord to show him, and he would say, that gentleman over there, and kind of thing. And he said, yes, this is your problem. And the guy said, yes. He said, come, I want to pray for you. Most amazing demonstration of the word of knowledge. And there was one lady who came up onto the stage. She had a built-up shoe about so big. So she was walking normally because her shoe was built up. She came and he put a chair down for her and take off your shoes. He prayed for her. We saw, because we were in about the second row, saw her leg grow. It was the most amazing thing till they were together. And then she waited there for a while the Holy Spirit ministered to her. And then she put on her shoes and walked off the stage. And she limped off the stage because now the one leg was raised up by the built-up shoe. I remember that so clearly. So this is some of the things that we've seen in terms of the ministry of the gifts. But today we want to turn our attention to the inspirational gifts. There they are listed: prophecy, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. And these are the ones that occur mostly, but not exclusively, when believers get together, in the context of believers in a meeting together in the church, whether it can be a home group or a meeting like this. And so, first of all, prophecy. Prophecy is the supernatural utterance in a known language of the people present. So what is utterance? Well, first of all, let me just say, it is not for foresaying or prediction, prophecy. That would rather be probably a word of wisdom. And I'm going to deal with utterance when we come to tongues. It will be better. So why prophecy? Why do we need prophecy? What is prophecy there for if it's not for foretelling or prediction? The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 3, that prophecy is for building up or edification, for stirring up or exhortation, and for cheering up, consolation. That's what prophecy is sent to do by the Holy Spirit. And who here does not need to be built up, stirred up, and cheered up? We all do. In one day you'll be needing cheering, another day you'll be needing building up. But this is the place for it. The local body of Christ. This is where it happens. And so, let's note that. I hope that most of you who were here last week would have read, as I suggested, 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. We obviously can't go into detail on all these things in preparation for today's message, because it would have been helpful for you to do so. So 1 Corinthians 14, 1 says, desire especially that you may prophesy. Have you and have I ever talked to the Lord seriously about stirring up our desire to prophesy? Did you this morning pray like that, maybe? Do you see what I mean by desire? God responds to desire. And so if you want to be used as a channel to encourage others, to build them up, to cheer them up, to stir them up through prophecy, start desiring prophecy. Paul said, desire especially when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit, that you may prophesy. And so let's remember that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are for the common good. So how wonderful if God could use you. And how wonderful if you could be a recipient of that. You wouldn't want to miss a Sunday service if you were feeling, oh, just need building up. So often we're feeling out of sorts. And we think, oh, I don't want to go to church today. No, no, no. This is where you need to be. So you can be built up, stirred up, and cheered up, and go away, changed. This is where it happens, if we're desiring it and we're expecting the gifts. So let's come to church with expectation. So to prophesy means to speak for God. It doesn't mean preaching. Preaching is proclaiming or expounding or announcing what the Word of God has to say. And that comes through preparation and learning and knowledge and all those things. And so those are not gifts. Those are things you learn. So prophecy is not preaching, as some people tend to think of it. And the word prophecy, or some form of it, occurs many, 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 many times in those three chapters. If you have a look, you can count them up for yourself. Which says something about its importance. Why? Because God wants His church built up, stirred up, and cheered up. All right? He doesn't want us to be a people who are hanging with our, for lip is the Afrikaans word. He doesn't want us to be like that. He wants us to be built up, cheered up, and stirred up. And so there is a need, because it's mentioned so often. It's so important, but it also needs to be regulated. I'll come to that in a minute. But in Acts chapter 19, when Paul prayed for the Christians in Ephesus, do you remember? They got saved, and then he prayed for them. They laid hands on them, and they spoke in tongues, and they prophesied, the Bible said. It was something that happened. And it didn't mean that they all became prophets in the sense of the biblical office of a prophet in the church, else we would have had thousands of prophets in the church. And that's not how it is. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. There are not many of those people that Christ gives to the church. It's certainly not everybody. Okay? So that wasn't that kind of prophecy. So what was it? It was declaring God's wonderful works, declaring His praises, as it mentions in other instances when people were filled with the Holy Spirit. And so prophecy is often just expressed in prayer. In Jude verse 20, the book of Jude verse 20, it says, build each other up in your most holy faith, pray in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now I just want to stop there for a minute, because all prayer is important, okay? Whether you're praying for your neighbor next door or whatever, all prayer is important, but some prayers are prophetic. And so when you pray, and in church like this sometimes that prayer is what stirs you. Or that prayer is what builds you up. Or that prayer is what really cheers you up. That would have been a prophetic prayer, because that is the outcome of that prayer. So sometimes it's just a pouring out of praise. And maybe that's what really stirs you. Prophecy is not there for rebuke. It's not there for correction. The word and preaching and things like that can do that. But prophecy is there just for those three things. And then the Bible also says in 1 Corinthians 14 that the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. That means that God doesn't sort of just control you and you've got nothing to do with it. It doesn't mean that. It means that you can choose whether you speak or not. You have that ability. So it's a gift that can be regulated, because it's not out of your control. Okay? So even if somebody prophesies and they say, I was under divine compulsion, if it's not one of those three things, it can be judged, and it's not prophecy. So we need to be aware of that. And the Bible says, let them speak, but let the others judge. It's very important that prophecy is judged, because God is the author of peace, not of confusion. He always acts and speaks in harmony with his word. It's probably practically a good thing not to ever speak in the first person if you're prophesying. You know, somebody standing up and saying, I, the Lord, da-da-da-da-da, say this to you sort of thing. Because then how can you judge that? It's better to be in the third person, just a practical point. So we're urged not to despise prophesying, but to actually covet it. Let's move on to the next one, which is various kinds of tongues. Tongues are supernatural utterance in an unknown language. It can be speaking or singing. What is utterance? This is where I want to talk about utterance. Utterance is simply vocal sound. That's all it is. That's a biblical, the dictionary definition of utterance, vocal sound. So let's think about that. If you make sounds in English, what are you using? You're using your mouth, you're using your lips, you're using your breath, you're using your air. And you're using your brain, because that's where your vocabulary is stored in English. Okay? And your tongue, yes, also used. And your vocal cords. All of those are used in speaking. So now if you have an utterance in another language that's unknown to you, everything is the same except the source of where the words come from. It won't be from your brain, they'll be from the Holy Spirit. And so Paul teaches that your mind is unfruitful when you speak in tongues. Okay? So the source is different. That's all it is. So people sometimes pray in tongues and they say, it was just me. I was just talking. No, no, no. You were talking. But the source of the utterance was the Holy Spirit. And that's the difference. Some people sit with their mouths open and wait for God to do something without their words and lips and tongue and vocal cords and breath. And it won't happen. Okay? It's you speaking. You are speaking. They spoke as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance, it says in Acts chapter 2. And often that's a stumbling block and an obstacle. So let's understand that. Speaking in tongues seems to be the gift that's most often received when people are prayed for the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And why do you think that is the case? I mean, there are all the other gifts. Why is that the case? Well, I think there are two reasons. Firstly, it's very hard to control your tongue normally in life, don't you? And so if you're one of these people that just talks and 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 talks, you're not in control of your tongue. Okay? And so to let your tongue go to the Holy Spirit is quite a thing. It is. And so we found that people who, Rob and I prayed for people, we found that people who talk a lot battle to speak in tongues, because they want to talk their own things. Okay? They're such chatterboxes. Okay, it's just an observation we made. But Why is that? I think it's because tongues is just so obviously supernatural. And I think if God wants to introduce you into the supernatural, all these things we've mentioned, these wonderful gifts that we've mentioned, He'll probably do it through something very supernatural to open you to it. Okay, so that's why we often believe that the baptism in the Holy Spirit is the gateway to the gifts. And if you are filled with the Holy Spirit and you speak in tongues, you will probably be more open to those other gifts than if you weren't. So I just want to clarify something very clearly here. If you're baptized in the Holy Spirit and you don't speak in tongues, it's not a big issue. Okay, it doesn't mean you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. But why not? Let's hear what tongues does. What's the point of speaking in tongues? Well, firstly, for private use, in prayer and in worship. Okay? How many of you often just don't know how to pray for something? Pray in tongues. God knows. He's the source of it. Okay? And you can pray. And very often people start praying in tongues when they're really burdened for something. They're just out of words and they've just got this urge to pray. And out comes the tongues. Because God sees your heart and you just want to pray and you can't. Okay? And that's how things happen. So a person, in 1 Corinthians 14 verse 4, Paul teaches there that a person who speaks in tongues edifies himself, is strengthened personally. Now I would want to have tongues just for that reason, to be strengthened in my faith spiritually. And that's why tongues is so very, very important. So don't pass it by and say, well, it's not for me. If you want to be edified, and if you want to be personally, ask God for that, because it will really give much value to your faith. There was just a personal example. I want to give two examples. One was when it was about 9:30 one night. I was teaching in King Williamstown, and I was on my own, and I got a phone call. Before the days of cell phones, okay, to tell me that my mother had had a very bad car accident. She was okay, but she'd had this very bad car accident. And I got the news and I was shocked. That is how I described it. I didn't know what to do. There was no one I could call at that hour of night. So I got down on my knees and I just prayed in tongues. I didn't know what else to do. Do you know that, I don't know how long, maybe about 20 minutes, I got up and I climbed back in bed and I just fell asleep. Total peace. That's what the Holy Spirit did. Huh? Strengthened me personally through praying in tongues. And that was just an amazing testimony that I've shared often. And then it can strengthen you for ministry purposes too. And we learned this by a lady that came through the Karoo with a very powerful supernatural ministry when she started praying for people. Her name was Barbara Thorne. And she really made us sit up, take note. And what she used to do, I mean, now she was ministering in a place where she didn't know a soul, not a single solitary soul. And she would pray in tongues before that meeting for between 2 and 3 hours on her own, locked away in her room, just praying in the Spirit. And you know what God would do? The Holy Spirit would show her things that were going to come in that meeting. That's what He did. And so when she stood up there to minister, she would say with complete confidence, I have the anointing of the Holy Spirit on me to pray for people. And they'd come forward, and she would have shown them what those people's needs were. And she would pray on target every single time. It was quite amazing to see that. It's not time now to tell you Rob's testimony, but you can ask him about that himself. Then secondly, there was for public use. That's the other use of tongues. And I think this is often misunderstood. This is for when believers meet together. Okay, and it needs to always be accompanied by the interpretation of tongues, where it has the same effect as prophecy, building up, stirring up, and cheering up. So Paul teaches that this, you know, the Corinthian church were very, they were very enthusiastic, and I think there was a bit of a free-for-all sometimes when it came to tongues. And so that's why this teaching was actually given, because he said, you know, God's a God of order. And so he said, if anyone speaks in a tongue, it should be by 2 or at the most 3 in a public meeting, and each one in turn. And so the public, this is the public use of the gift. So when it's in 1 Corinthians 12 at the end, it says not everybody is a healer, not everybody is an apostle, not everybody speaks in tongues, do they? It's got nothing to do with the private use of the gift. Paul said, I speak in tongues more than you all. Jesus said, and Doug read this scripture at the end of the service last time from the end of Mark's Gospel, Mark chapter 16, where Jesus said, "These signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues." Jesus said it. Okay? Jesus said it. "They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover." Have you ever laid hands on any sick person and asked Jesus to heal them? It's not going to happen if you don't lay hands on them. Okay, he wants to incorporate all of us. And so when it comes to tongues, "Don't forbid to speak in tongues," said Paul. Okay? Again, the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. It works in the same way. The Holy Spirit doesn't take you over so that you have got no idea what you're doing and you're out of control and it's all wild and all the rest of it. It's not like that, okay? You can choose to start or stop. You can choose to speak loudly or to whisper in tongues. It's the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets, okay? So don't ever be scared of tongues, okay? Just in a public meeting though, everything in order. Then the interpretation of tongues is very simple. Just, it's a supernatural showing forth of the meaning of tongues. Or, it's not a translation, okay? It's a declaration of meaning of what the tongues is saying that other people can't understand. So the interpretation is given by the Holy Spirit. There was one church conference I went to where it just so happened, because of logistics, that most of the Zulu speaking people were sitting on one side and the English speaking people on the other side, and somebody brought a message in tongues and two interpretations went off at the same time, one in Zulu and one in English. And there was a man there who could speak both languages and he could listen. So it wasn't one following the other, it wasn't one listening to the other and then saying it. They were identical in meaning, absolutely identical. So that's interpretation of tongues. Now, just a few last points, some general points. Don't be scared of supernatural manifestations of the Holy Spirit. God is a supernatural God. I don't know about you. I don't know about you, but I want a God who's supernatural, don't you? Imagine if God was at the same level as us. Okay? God is supernatural, so don't be afraid when he manifests himself in a supernatural way. And one of the examples, that you find in the scriptures, three places, was at the dedication of Solomon's temple. Do you remember the story? And the glory of God came into the temple. What happened to the priests? They could not stand to minister. They were flat. That was a manifestation of the power of God. Then the same thing happened when Jesus rose from the dead. Do you remember that? The gods were like dead men. It was such a manifestation of the glory of God. John on Patmos, do you remember that story? He had this amazing vision. He said, "I was like a dead person." Okay? And sometimes, and I want to mention this because it happens and you might have come across it. Sometimes when people are prayed for anything, and the Holy Spirit moves, sometimes they can't stand. They actually fall over. I'm not in for anybody who wants to push anybody over. That's not it. That's not on. Okay? But sometimes when people are prayed for, they actually fall over. It happened to me once. Okay? Other times I've been prayed for things that's never happened. But this one time it happened to me. And I was lying on the ground and I thought, I actually can't get up. I can't get up. And so I just decided to go with the flow and let the Holy Spirit minister to me. And I thought, now I want to understand this. Why did this happen? And so I went into some of the, I went to do some research on it, and I discovered that one of the words, the words for glory is a weight or a heaviness, which explained it to me. It wasn't oppressive. It was just kept me there for the Holy Spirit to minister to me, and that was very special. So don't be scared of that phenomenon if it happens. But it's not about the manifestation, it's about the ministry in the Holy Spirit, from the Holy Spirit for you. Then, the second thing I want to mention is that the gifts of the Holy Spirit need to be ministered in love. That's why 1 Corinthians 13 was written. It was not written to be read at weddings. Okay? "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love," I'm like a sounding gong and a clanging cymbal or whatever it is. Okay? It's how the gifts should operate. If you read that with new eyes, you'll see. It's how the gifts should operate in love. And then a very frightening scripture, I find it the most frightening in the whole Bible, in Matthew chapter 7, 21 to 23. Not everyone, said Jesus, who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and perform many miracles in your name. But I will reply, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. So it's not about the gifts. It's about doing God's will. Okay? But expecting that he'll use you. All right? And on the other hand, let's not be amongst people who, as per Paul's second letter to Timothy, he said, in the last days, all sorts of things will happen, but don't be holding to a form of godliness and denying its power. Okay? We need to incorporate and believe in and hold to and desire and expect the power of the Holy Spirit. So we need 9 gifts and we need 9-fold fruit in balance in our lives. Not one and not the other. Or this one and not that one. We need both. They're both very, very important. And the fruit will conform us to the image of Christ. But the gifts are for the supernatural, are the supernatural equipment to equip us. So I want to end with this scripture found in Ephesians 3, verse 20 and 21. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. So let's think big. Let's ask big. And let's see how God will use us according to the power that works in us. Who is? The Holy Spirit. Okay? And I want to just mention something here. Last night on TV, Rob was listening to a program. I don't think he understood very much of it, he said. It was about Albert Einstein. And there was that equation, E equals MC squared. And so I thought, you know, I don't really understand E equals MC squared either. But it was the formula, the equation, that led to the whole development of nuclear power and actually the atomic bomb. So it was a thing about power. So I thought, oh, that's very interesting. Let me look it up. And there was a fun website, you can go and find it, called, it was a fun and easy way to understand E equals MC squared. And this guy worked it out very clearly and spoke, and he said, that a human being, talking about the energy that's within us, a human being is roughly the equivalent of 1.86 million kilotons of TNT. How's that for a fact? Or person who weighs 86.18 kgs, which is his weight, has got 88.403 times more explosive energy in them than the bomb that destroyed Nagasaki. Now, I want to mention that why I'm saying this is that is natural energy or natural power. We have a supernatural God who raised Jesus from the dead. And it says in Ephesians that same power is for us who believe. Okay, so let's pray. Heavenly Father, I don't believe we've not even for maybe a thousandth of a percent tapped into the power that you have. Certainly as a church we haven't. And we just give that account to you, Lord, and we want to ask you that you would stir us to expect so much more from you that you want to give. But you'll give it as we start loving people. All those broken people out there that Heather was talking about in the worship. Break our hearts for what breaks yours. Help us to put our own agendas aside. Even our Sunday morning agendas. Won't you help us to put them aside and come and be built up and stirred up in our faith and cheered up so that we can go out there and minister to those who don't know you with your power. In Jesus' name, amen.